Answer the witness, I beseech, chiefs of Jacob and princes of Israel, those not knowing any justice. That's Micah chapter 3, verse 1 of the version of Yours Truly from 2003. And once again, that's our daily scripture for today, little children. We have begun chapter 3 of Micah today, because yesterday we finished chapter 2 with verse 13 of that chapter. You may recall. And as we return and resume our study of the article, Joseph and On, we got as far as this paragraph. Now, what number was it? I think we'd like to know that. Let's see, we got as far as 57 one day, but 61. I have a feeling we got, let's just count. Maybe we can just count. 57 to 60, I think we did, right? That was, I remember that. 50 from Poseidon, that was 57. The Rear View of Poseidon by James Lyons, that painting, was paragraph 57. Or chapter 5. It's not 5. It's not chapter 5. We don't have chapters in this article, just paragraph 57. And then we have 58 with the Great Sphinx photograph, and 59 about Robert Louis Stevenson, and 60, Jim Thorpe, and 61 was this painting, Abundance, right, which was the beginning of a new day for us in our study. That's 61. And then 62 was I Must Confess. And 63 was the painting of the Mona Lisa. But 63 is actually a multiple of 7. It's 7 times 9, isn't it? Divine factor of 7. And 64, we have Jewish tradition. So we're at 65, paragraph 65. I don't know if that's what we said. Let's see. Yep, we did. We were in paragraph 65 according to what we said. What I noted as the title of yesterday's video and audio, it had paragraph 65, and we got as far in this paragraph now. It's the paragraph with the photograph. Is it a photograph? I'm not even sure if it's a photograph or some kind of daguerreotype photograph or just whether it's just an artist's rendering of Johannes Gutenberg, but it's Gutenberg. It's a very beautiful illustration of the man who invented the printing press and printed the first Bible, the Gutenberg Bible, around about 1452 of the Common Era. And in this paragraph, which we began yesterday, we got as far as the mirror date for 1820 BCE, which we saw was the beginning of Egyptian slavery for the Israelites, 1820 BCE, which was approximately the date of death of Levi within one year, we think, of the date of death of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob who died, and he was the last one of the sons of Jacob to die. And that was the year he died, 1820 BCE, before the Common Era. And the mirror date to that is 1820 of the Common Era, exactly the same number of years on the opposite side of the turn of the Common Era. The year 1820 CE being the year that America passed the U.S. law on slave trade, declaring trade of slaves by U.S. citizens punishable by death. That's pretty serious. Slave trading, since that time, has been punishable by death. A beginning of slavery in Egypt, that we talked about with the Israelites being enslaved, is mirrored, thus as an end to slavery in America. So at the same time as in the BCE time period, the same exact year that slavery was beginning for the Israelites, in the mirror on the other side of the Common Era, that same year, number 1820, of the Common Era, which is the 1820 of our time period, in which we're living now, with the year 2025 being also of that same era, in that year, 1820 CE, slavery was brought to an end legally by that passing of that law in the U.S. where they passed a law on slave trade, declaring trade of slaves by U.S. citizens punishable by death. That was a lot to cover, that one concept. Surprised? The Israelites, quote-unquote, returned to Canaan. Thus, at least in a sense, they returned to Canaan. In 1421 BCE, they had already crossed the Jordan and returned to Canaan. They'd returned in 1452, actually, but their official return would be the beginning of the Jubilee cycle in 1421. Although they were also said to have settled the land about 15 years after they crossed the Jordan, which was about 1437 in our chronology, about the time, which is exactly, of course, also, it turns out, 17 times 50 years, which is 850 years, prior to Jerusalem's destruction in 587. That's another useful concept, because we can get 17 jubilees. You know, that's the time that they spent from the time they conquered Canaan, which took 15 years of conquest. After crossing the Jordan, they conquered the land, and it took 15 years, but it even took more than 15 years. But they divided the land amongst the Israelites after 15 years. So that's when they settled. Canaan was in 1437, 15 years after 1452, because the years count backwards again, right? It's in the BCE time period. So 1437, they settled it, but then they actually returned to Canaan, in a sense, about 16 years later, in 1421, when the Jubilee cycle began. They started to celebrate their Jubilees. And, of course, they continued, after they had divided the land, to conquer the land of Canaan for a long time afterwards. They had not completed the conquest immediately, and that's why, one of the reasons why they had so many problems. Also, when they were re-inhabiting Canaan, they didn't conquer the land fully, and there were still a lot of Canaanites in the land who were practicing reprehensible, detestable acts of detestable things they were doing, to sacrifice their own children in the fire and all sorts of detestable things they were doing. So if Israel had conquered, you know, maybe things would have gone differently for them, but we know Israel still had problems because they didn't conquer completely, and they didn't do it immediately. But in 1421, this is the date we're interested in, they were freed from slavery in a sense, right? Earlier than that, in 1493, when they left Egypt in the Exodus, which is a difference of 72 years. But they returned to Canaan, really, in a sense, when they began their Jubilee cycle of celebrations every 50 years. They really owned the land at that point in the legal sense, because every 50 years, whatever lands had been sold returned to their original owner, and things like that, every 50 years, and that began in 1421. Slaves who had sold themselves into slavery were freed in the Jubilee year, which is every 50 years after 1421. But now we're going to call it 1422, okay? Because later on we decided it was a more accurate number. May we not be presumptuous in taking this date with cocksureness, for it implies that 40 years of wilderness wandering from 1493 to 1452 was 40 years and some months, was more than some 30 years before the Jubilee cycle started. 1452 being about 30 years before 1422, right? And only the two traditions of Jewish scribes asserting 33 years actually passed from the entry into Palestine until the first Jubilee cycle, which would be it's correct if it's the first Jubilee cycle, roughly correct, because 33 from, well, it's more like 30. 1452 to 1422 would be 30 years, not 33. But you see, we have no other sources of information about this that I've been able to find, other than the Jewish traditions, right? Of, and then I think I got this from Sabbath and Jubilee cycle. That article in Jewish Encyclopedia, that's where I think I got this from. And you can look it up, but they mentioned this 33 years, and so at the time I wrote this article, I interpreted this at the best way I could, but it doesn't quite work with 33 years. But look at the other one. The other number they gave, which was from the Jewish scribes also, was that there were 21 years from settlement until the first Sabbath. And we know the settlement year was 14. Well, it was, okay, let's take it one step at a time. First of all, the settlement time was considered to be after they conquered the land. So that took 15 years, according, 14 or 15 years, according to Jewish tradition. So that's 1452 minus 15, which is 1437. You could do all the math, but I don't want to get bogged down in the math. But 1437, I mean, I've done the math umpteen million times. I know what it is, but I'm not going to be wrong about the math. But 1437, and here I call it 1436, because we took it slightly differently with 1421 as the beginning of a Jubilee cycle. If the beginning of the Jubilee cycle is 1422... then the first Sabbath year, it's talking about the first Sabbath year, which came at the end of the first 7 years. It was the seventh year of the first Jubilee cycle. Counting from 1422, that would be 1422 minus 6 is 1416, which I write as 1 year lower here as 1415 BCE, but we can call it 1416. And that's exactly 21 years after the settlement date of 1437, which is taken as 15 years after crossing the Jordan. As I wrote here, though, it was 16 years, which is slightly more than the 14 or 15 years traditionally said to be the time after the crossing of the Jordan that was the time of settlement. But that's it. We're still in the ballpark in either case. 1437 now is what we're saying. And from that time period, or that year, 1437, there are exactly 21 years to 1416. And 1416 is the beginning of the seventh year after 1422. Counting backwards, it works perfectly. The BCE years, of course, always counting backwards. But the 14 or 15 years after the crossing of the Jordan is actually accurate. We don't have to say 16 years anymore if we take 1422 for the beginning of the Jubilee cycle. And Okay, I say here in this sentence, only the two traditions of the Jewish scribes can render a justification for believing these dates, because there were no other sources of information about this. Not that I could find. But the scriptural basis is found in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and Ezekiel 40 and 1. So in Ezekiel 1, we read in verse 1, now it came about in the 30th year, and let's just ignore the rest of that verse, just to jump down for simplicity to verse 2, in the 5th year of the exile. So it's the 30th year and the 5th year of the exile. Okay, so that means it's the 30th year of something, and it's the 5th year of the exile. So if that 30th year means the 30th year, some people think it means of the life of Ezekiel, his 30th year. Other people, like as we're interpreting it, think that it means the 30th year of the Jubilee cycle. So the 30th year of the Jubilee cycle, in the way that we're interpreting it, means the 5th year of the exile. The 30th year of the Jubilee equals the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, right? And the 5th year of the exile, we know, was, well, 597, basically, minus 4 is 593. And then to get to the Jubilee, 593 plus 30, or if we took it, yeah, if we could subtract a full 5 years because of the time of year, let's say, in the fifth day of the month. It doesn't say what month. It's interesting. Okay. It calls it the fourth month right there, in verse 1. But we have to be careful, because we don't know what calendar system they use for the Jubilee compared to the calendar system that they use for the exile. We just don't know exactly. We could say 597 minus 5 if we want to get the right answer. 597 minus 5 is 592, plus 30 is 622, which is, again, a number ending in 22, and the Jubilee is every 50 years, so every two Jubilees is going to end in 22, like 1422, and then 1372, and then 1322, and so on, all the way down to 622, which would be the... which is the 16th Jubilee? From 1422. I wish I could do that in my head. Well, it's 17 Jubilees entirely to 587 from 1437. So I'm thinking it must be 16 from the Jubilee prior to 587. Back to the one that came after. Let's see, how many years is 622 from 587? 13 plus 22, 35. And then the number of years, is 15 years. That's right, we already talked about the 15 years between 1437 and 1422, right? So it's exactly 16. I think that's right, 16 Jubilees exactly from 622. Wait, well, 16, right, obviously it's 800 years. Yeah, it's 800 years between 622 and 1422, so I can do that in my head. 800 years, 800 and 622 is 1422, and that's 8 Jubilees each 50 years long, 16 Jubilees in total, 800 years. 16 Jubilees each 50 years long. Makes 800 years. So, 16 Jubilee time period there. So, the first Jubilee, Right. Would have occurred in 1372. And we're counting from 1422. There would be 16 jubilees, and that was the 16th jubilee in 622. That was the year 18 of King Josiah, actually, whose year one was 639 in our chronology. Everything works out in our chronology like it should. But, okay, there's a 25-year difference between the exile date and the jubilee, according to Ezekiel, right? 30th year and 5th year, a 25-year difference. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 40 and 1. And in the 25th year of our exile, in the start of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, the 25th year of our exile, in the 14th year, after the city had been struck down. That doesn't really matter. I mean, we don't really need this verse. We've already determined everything from the first verse. Because this doesn't mean, except that, yeah, except for one thing. It says in the start of the year on the 10th day of the month. And only the Jubilee years started on the 10th day of the month as the year start. The start of the year was on the Day of Atonement in the Jubilee year. That's why this verse is important to us. If it says the start of the year on the 10th day of the month, if that was the start of the year, you know, not just the approximate start, but the exact start of the year, then it's certain that that must be the year of the Jubilee, and that's the 25th year of the exile. So we see there's a 25-year difference again. Or perhaps a 24-year difference. But let's, you know, if it's the 25th year of the exile, right? If there are 24 full years, so if that's true, 24 full years after 597, I mean, I did a calculation here. The 14th year after the city was struck down is done like 587, which is the date of the striking down of Jerusalem. 587 minus 13 is the 14th year after that city was struck down, right? And then add the 24 years to get back to the exile, 24 full years, and that is 598. And that year beginning in 598 may have been the year beginning in the secular year, may be referred to there. The secular year that began in 598, which the Jewish secular year began in the autumn. And so that was the same year in which Nebuchadnezzar took the city of Jerusalem and took captives. So that was the beginning of the captivity, but it was in January of 597, Julian. So it's the same year that began in 598. But it's close enough. But we also could say, let's say the city was struck down, the 14th year after the city was struck down, the 25th, yeah. So we added, we already did this, adding the 24 years. But it says the 24th year of the exile, so let's just say 597. We know that's the year of the exile. It's January of that year, the exile. That's from Nebuchadnezzar's own records in his seventh year, and it gives the month, and we can determine exactly that it was January of 597 from Nebuchadnezzar's official records. We know that that is the right date. We rarely get that from historical records, right? We rarely get that. Now, 597, the 25th year of the exile. Let's add, we have to subtract 24 years to get to the 25th year, because the years count backwards. We get 573, right, which is 14 years after, you know, it's close enough, isn't it, considering the differences in calendars that can sometimes cause a one-year difference, 587. I mean, a one-year apparent difference, but it's actually just the the number of the year that's different, but 587 is 14 years. You know, earlier than that date, 573 BCE. So it did work out. It worked out very well. But we can see from that that this that we can see what the year of the exile is. We can see when the city was struck down, and we also saw from Ezekiel chapter 1 that the difference between the Jubilee year number and the exile year number was 25 years. And that was seen from that same chapter too, because it said the start of the year, which would be, if it was the 10th of the month, it must have been the start of a Jubilee, and it was the 25th year of their exile. So there was, again, a 24-year difference, or a 25-year difference, right? I mean, depending on, so it's 24 or 25 years difference between the, you know, without knowing everything, we can't be too picky about that. It still could be 100% accurate. That's the point. And we have it right there in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel. So the Jubilee evidently comes 25 years before the exile, as we continue reading. Because it was the 30th year of the Jubilee, in the 5th year of the exile, from Ezekiel chapter 1. So, and the exile is evidently 11 years prior to the fall of Jerusalem. Actually, it's 10 years and some months. But this leads to the Jubilee year 622 BCE, which we just talked about. Josiah's 18th, nearly, only slightly adjusted to 621 in this paragraph, because we talked about 621 instead of, or we talked about 1421 instead of 1422. And they're exactly, you know, 50 years every Jubilee, so it always ends up on the same 22 every century, right? Every two Jubilees is 100 years exactly, so 1422 would end up on 622, not 621. But in this paragraph, we said 621 as the year, we described it as the year, in this case, of the 16th Jubilee, 16 times 50 years after the start of the Jubilee cycle, 1421 BCE. So near and yet so far, because we should get 622, as we saw from the book of Ezekiel there. And yet, we've resolved that later on, but we thought it should be 1421, partly because of the prophecy of 400 years, from 1820, you know, to 1421, inclusive, is 400 years. It's not a problem, I don't think, because we can always go 18, maybe we can go 1821. Or it's still within 1 year. It's pretty remarkable. Somehow it might be resolvable if it's within 1 year. Now here we have an illustration of the Great Sphinx. We're in the next paragraph now, which is paragraph 66, I believe, right? We just talked about. The Great Sphinx of Giza is this illustration here. A close-up of the face of the Great Sphinx, which is the same Sphinx we saw in the earlier photograph. In France, it's got the nose broken off of the face, and as we said, many of these representations did, partly because I suppose they represented pharaohs, and the pharaohs who came later were jealous of their predecessors and tried to efface them from history, so to speak. In France, slavery, in this paragraph 66, was abolished. Slavery was abolished in France twice, with the average for the two dates being March 17th, 1821 CE. That's the average date, 1821. March 17th being the average, when you average the calendar dates also. This is also known as St. Patrick's Day. March 17th, that is, in some countries. The year 1821 CE is the mirror to 1821 BCE, which is the year in Israel's history just prior to the year we said Levi died in Egypt. 1820 BCE, we said, is a fairly accurate mirror, apparently. But note something here. In the article Green, it was true that Demetrius said that, let's look it up, Levi was born in 1862, we said, because we had the wrong year numbers at that time. But the relative numbers are still right. And back down here, we said Joseph was born in 1858. And here we said that Levi was born in 1862, right? So, but according to Demetrius, there was a four-year difference between the year of Joseph's birth and the year of Levi's birth. He was born in the sixth month, and Joseph was born in the eighth month of the Jewish year. So since Joseph was born later in the Jewish year, if he's born at the end of 1954, which is our current chronology, this green chronology was modified after by us in the subsequent articles, which the first of which was Joseph, and then Joseph went home. But the birth of Joseph we have now, 1954, but the four-year difference should be the same because Levi was born in an earlier month. So with Joseph born late in the year 1954 BCE, it's going to be a four-year difference with Levi born in 1958, which is not what we said, not what we assumed, because 1958, I'm running out of time, I think that's why I'm getting 58. Let's subtract the 94 years that we had before. No, that's 1864. Wait a minute. Hang on. No, I know. He died at the age of 137. That's the number we want to subtract. It's 1821, you see. 1821 was the year that he died. So you see that 1821 is actually the correct mirror date if you look at the abolition of slavery in France. And that's it for today's study. That was the beginning of paragraph 66 of the article Joseph and Owen. Our study for today is concluded. That's the end of the video for February 11th, 2025 of the Common Era. The time being 1332 hours Canadian Eastern Time, and I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. In my behalf, this is Sissy and this is Star saying bye for now. We do have a little bit more time, but that's 66, so what else can we say? We said Levi died in 1820, that was 66, and that's paragraph 67. In Britain, the slave trade was declared piracy in 1827.